morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day 2020. We're going to do something a little different. As you see, the background is a little different. So you know, just a few minutes to get everybody logged in. But we are so grateful to the opportunity to once again come to you over the Facebook Live. Again, happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers and grandmothers and aunts that are out there, all of those that have the mother-like influence on us all, and we are grateful for everything that you have and continue to do for us. We would be in a bad way without you, and we know that many times what you do for us and for all those around you is a thankless job. And so we want to just take a moment and tell everyone out there, all of the mothers, and again, all of those mother-like individuals in our lives, thank you for what you do. You are loved and you are special to us. And that's what I'd like to do this morning. We'll obviously begin with a word of prayer once again. Thank you, and we want to provide a little bit of encouragement to you, hopefully. I will make no claims to tell you anything that you do not know or have not already experienced. You don't want to go in and tell the mothers anything that they don't already practice on a daily basis. But what I do want to do is tell them that the Lord has provided some encouragement specifically for you in these days, and we want to just bring those things out from the Word of God. As we have been doing, we want to begin with a word of prayer. I certainly want to give thanks to the Lord for all that He has done for us. I think that we can say that there has been good progress as we see the Lord working, and I think there is some hope and some light at the end of the tunnel as we continue to face the crisis in our world. And we want to acknowledge Him. And I certainly believe that He has done amazing things for us and before our very eyes. And so we'd like to just go to Him and again thank Him for what He's done and ask Him to continue to help us. And also just to help us this morning as we would look and to honor our mothers and provide a little bit of encouragement for them this morning. Our Father, as we come to you once again, you are the God of the universe, the God who has created not only life, but created the entities that we are, a man, a woman, the husband and the wife, the father and the mother, and children. You have created all of that economy that we see before us today. And Lord, it is appropriate that we can come and particularly consider our mothers and grandmothers and aunts, and those that have had that influence of a mother on us. And we realize that you have endowed them with a special gift, a gift that cannot be replicated. And we are grateful for each and every one of them. We pray that you might bless them today, allow them to be blessed as those of us around them would seek to just take a moment and acknowledge them and what they do. Our Father, we would also continue to pray that you would help us in this time of our country and our state and our cities, and would ask that you would please allow there to be continued progress in this fight against this particular virus. We pray for those that are on the front lines of this battle and those that have really sacrificed tremendously for these things, to combat these things, that is. We pray that you would help those that are still suffering. Father, we thank you that it seems to be the number of cases seems to be leveling off, as was the goal for many weeks now. And so we thank you for that. That does not discount, Father, that there are still those that are suffering and we would ask that you would be with them and provide them a particular healing today and as we go forward. Father, we pray that again that this time would be utilized of you to teach us and to give us the insight that we need to live more faithfully to you. Our Father, again, finally, we would just ask that you would give us insight into your word this morning, that we might be able to gain instruction, gain encouragement, so that we might be better servants of yours. Lord, we are particularly focusing on our mothers this morning, but we pray that we would all have an open heart to your word, and that you might bless all those that might be listening and watching. And we ask all this in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have a Bible this morning, you can turn to Psalm 127. Probably not the only sermon that will be touching or preached from that portion of Scripture this morning. We know that there will be many words spoken on Hannah. There'll be many words spoken on Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, and all of the other mothers and women in the Scripture that we think of often. We also would just stop and say again that I think that it would be appropriate to acknowledge our mothers more than just one time a year. They do so much for us. I particularly am grateful for my own godly mother and what she has taught me and what she has instilled in me and continues to inspire me and pray for me daily. I'm certainly grateful for my wife, the mother of my children, and all that she does and all that she has done and continues to raise our little boys in the fear of the Lord. And where would we be without them? And so this morning, as I said in the introductory comments, I trust that I will not say anything new, but I would like to just take a moment and try to offer a few words of encouragement to those around us that are in this role. I have seen that it becomes, that being a mother is quite tiresome. There are many responsibilities. There seems to be not enough hours in the day. There are things to tend to constantly, and it's always changing, it seems. And so I believe that the Word of God offers encouragement for us and for those types of situations. And if we look to Psalm 127, it is a psalm that is accredited and written of Solomon, David's son. And he offers some interesting comments that, again, I know are probably familiar to many. But if you would, please follow along, and we'll read these verses together and make a few comments. And I believe that we could provide some encouragement from the Word of God, not just from this psalm, but from a few other scriptures to all of those mothers out there today. Psalm 127 would say this, a song of ascent of Solomon. Verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat bread of painful labors. For he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gates. That verse 2 sounds like a description of motherhood, rising up early, retiring late, the painful labors that it speaks of. It seems that the writer here had some insight into life, and indeed he did. In fact, he wrote many insights into life. We recently completed a study of the book of Proverbs. And in that, he speaks, Solomon, that is, he speaks of so many truths about the family, about parenting, about children, and so forth. And not only did Solomon write those things, we're told in the history books of Israel that he spent some time actually building a city. We're told that he spent 7 years building the temple of the Lord. And he spent 13 years, I believe it was, building his own house. And so he spent 20 years constructing a house. Houses, I should say. And these were no ordinary houses. These were glorious structures. And from my standpoint, the architectural and the engineering feat of them is really quite remarkable. But he spent all of this time building these things, and not only those two houses that I mentioned. It says he built stables, and he had an army. He had a tremendous army, the likes of which probably has never been seen before in that land. And he would begin this psalm by reminding everyone that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. And so the first thing that we would remind all here is that it is worth it when the Lord is in it. And he would go on in that verse 2 and say, it's vain for you to rise up early and to retire late and eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. I don't think that's saying that you shouldn't rise up early and stay up late if you have to. But what I think he's saying is that when you do these things without the Lord, those things are in vain. The idea that the labors that we pursue, they are to be centered in the Lord. We're told in Hebrews that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We're told in the book of Romans that anything that is not of faith is sin. And so when we come to the matter of being a mother, being in this family, we remember that it is that we are to do it for the Lord and with the Lord's strength. Matter of fact, whatever we do, we must do with the Lord's strength. We read in the book of Philippians that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when we read that verse, we often it is often misapplied. We hear it applied to different activities that we might pursue. But really what that's talking about, it was written from a jail cell, by the way, but it is written and with the intent that whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, we can still fulfill the will of God. We can still fulfill the will of God. And so when he's talking about pursuing the Lord's things, pursuing a house, building a house, being a mother, the idea is that with the Lord's help, we can do all things. With the Lord's help and guidance, we can accomplish those things. And so it seems sometimes that a mother's work, we're told that the mother's work is never done. And indeed, that may be the case. But I'm here to tell you this morning, and all the mothers that are watching, that for those that do it for the Lord, it is not in vain. That in vain is empty, like a hollow cocoon. It may look good on the outside, but it has no value inside. And so for the mother who would do these things for the Lord, I assure you that he is watching, and that it is worthwhile. Because we're told in verse 3 that children are a gift of the Lord. We live in a society today in which the bearing of children, having children, is actually oftentimes considered a hassle. As a matter of fact, the world has come up with diabolic means of preventing those things from taking place, and it behooves us to stand up for the glories of children and having children. It says they're a gift. They're a reward. A gift is something that we seek. A gift is something that we would desire. And so the Lord has so again established this economy in which we live with mothers and fathers, so that having a child is a gift from the Lord. It is an honor. It is the fruit of the womb. We're told in the book of Exodus, and then it is again repeated many times actually in the New Testament, that we are to honor our father and our mother. They are worthy of honor. Our mothers are worthy of honor. And as we think of this matter, that the Lord is the one who gives these gifts to us. And so it behooves us to honor those that the Lord has given those gifts from. So the matter of bearing children and being a mother is a blessing. Not only that, we would go on and we would see in verse 4 that they're like, the children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Arrows in the hand of a warrior. Now, an arrow is a weapon of war. It is used to battle. It is used to go into battle. When we think of in these times when they had to craft an arrow, the craftsmanship of an arrow, of making a perfectly straight piece of wood, of carving it just perfectly so that it was straight, and then the feather at the end so that it would fly properly, and of course the point to make sure that when it hit the target, it stuck. There's tremendous pictures in that very thing of carving an arrow, of creating an arrow for a specific purpose. And so mothers are on the front lines of crafting the instrument of accomplishing the will of God. I have three little boys. Rebecca, in her Sunday school message, made mention of this. We have the opportunity, Rebecca and I, of raising up three men of God, men that can go out into the world and accomplish His will. And that's a privilege. And we know that, again, that mothers are on the front lines of that very thing. And to think that it is not just a matter of having children and of keeping them fed and keeping them clothed, but that God, in His graciousness, has given children as a gift, but they're for a purpose. I believe that. I believe that every child has a purpose. We're told in the book of Proverbs that you are to raise up a child in the way he should go. Raise up a child in the way he should go, and it says, when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's almost like sending an arrow for a task, for a target, and letting it go and knowing that it will hit the mark. And again, mothers and fathers have a responsibility in this, but particularly thinking that oftentimes mothers are daily, hour by hour, minute by minute, crafting on these arrows, so to speak. And the purpose of them may not be known until later on, but that is how we proceed with faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Going back to that thought, that the house, the home, is not just to be a place where we sleep and eat and so forth, but it is really a place where craftsmanship takes place. God's gifts are utilized. God's gifts are honed for His specific purposes. And so mothers have a tremendous role in that very thing. In verse 5 of this psalm, would go on to say, and how blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And that is to say that it is a joyful calling to be a mother. It is a joyful calling to have these children and to call them your own. You know, it's a privilege. With privilege comes responsibility. And we know that the Lord has entrusted tremendous responsibility to parents, to mothers, and what they are to do. But there is a reward. We read in the last part of verse 5, They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. There is the proper kind of pride. There is the idea of being able to look with satisfaction on what God has wrought through you. And I know that for many mothers, they have been able to, perhaps they are advanced in years, and they have been able to look back and see what God has accomplished through their influence. You know, a tremendous picture of what a spread can look like is seen in this virus, where one person, unfortunately, may pass it on to two or three, and those two or three pass it on to another 10, and so forth. There's a cascading effect of influence or an infection. But in the same way, there can be a cascading degree of influence for good for those mothers that would raise their children and give them the tools that they need to go and influence the world for Christ. And so it is a joyful calling. As I said in verse 2 of this chapter, it is almost, you smile a little bit when you think about rising up early and retiring late and so forth. But I would also offer this means of encouragement, that that God sees all of these things. That God sees all of these things. Another verse that I would bring to your attention is Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. And again, not specifically speaking of mothers here, but speaking of God's faithfulness. And he says in verse 10, God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. Boy, there are many mothers that come to mind when I read that verse. But isn't it the case that so often when we are involved in the Lord's work, whether it's in a church setting or in a missionary setting or out on the street or certainly in the home, it seems sometimes that there is just no fruit to be seen for our efforts. That is to say that we are going day by day and we're doing what we feel that the Lord has called us to do, and yet it just seems that there's nothing to show for it. Well, I can assure you that when we are walking in the Lord in the will of God, the Lord is observing. Because he says he is not unjust so as to forget your work. Men will forget. We all struggle. Paul Bonner, I do have this, by the way. I did remember that, so you can rest assured of that. But I forget things all the time. However, as we would come to the things of God, he does not forget. He does not forget even a cup of cold water given in his name. Someone said that the Lord keeps good records, and he sure does. And so, for all of those out there that are struggling, that seems like it just, the daily round of life, the rigmarole will not end. Don't forget that God is there and he sees it. And he says, not just, and I appreciate this verse. He says, not just does he not forget, he doesn't just see your work, but he also sees your love. You know, those are the things that you can't actually maybe see. He sees your heart. He sees the love that you have put into the things that perhaps nobody else will ever know about. He sees that, and he will not forget. And having ministered and still ministering to the saints. It is a privilege to serve God's people. And it is a privilege to raise God's people. We think of the opportunities that we have, again, with our children, and to see them grow up in church and have the godly influence of grandparents and aunts and uncles, and we're grateful for that. But we need the encouragement, don't we? And mothers are on the front lines of rearing that next generation of encouragement, that next generation of saints. And we're grateful for that. Another verse that comes to mind, and going back to that thought of vain work, of work that does not seem to accomplish anything. It seems a little bit hollow. The Lord has something else to say about that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read of a dissertation, really, defending the reality of the resurrection. Defending that if the resurrection did not happen, then we're all wasting our time. But he goes through and assures the reader and assures us today that the resurrection did happen. And then at the very end of that verse, one of my favorite verses, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." To all the mothers and grandmothers and aunts out there that are serving Him, that are laboring to be a good influence in the community and in the home, what you are doing is not in vain. What you are doing is not in vain. He says, so much so that you don't even have to wonder about it. He says, you can be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That is, that you can plant your feet firmly on God's promises. You can go about your service to the Lord with 100% confidence that what you are doing for Him will be rewarded, and that it will accomplish its work. We're told also in the Scripture that His word will not return to Him void, or again, the idea of vain, of empty. What God has said, He will accomplish. And He has given us promises here that we can lay claim of. So, for the mothers out there, we are grateful for you. Again, it is a thankless job, but it is one that allows us, that is a blessing to us in so many ways. And perhaps we don't acknowledge it enough. But I can tell you this morning, as a way to provide you with a little encouragement, that what God has done is established a perfect, for lack of a better word, system, where a mother and father can have a home, and they can have children, and they can raise those children in the fear of the Lord. We're told in the book of Proverbs that wisdom has hewn out her seven pillars of her house. In other words, it is by wisdom, and another proverb would say, it's by wisdom that a house is established, or a home is established. And I believe that God has endowed our mothers with a particular tenderness, a particular wisdom, a particular ability, no doubt, that cannot be replicated with anything else or anyone else. And so we give thanks for our mothers this morning. And just by way of closing, we would just once again say that where would be we without them? We're grateful for all that they have done and all that they continue to do. And just leave you with this thought that the Lord sees all that you do. And we are grateful for it. And we know that the Lord will provide you with a tremendous reward for your continued service to Him. Let's just close with a word of prayer. Our Father, as we come before you once again, we're grateful that you have established these things for us. We pray, Father, that you might again bless all those around us, those mothers that have an influence on us. We thank you that you have given us your word that reminds us of the truths that they can lay hold of daily and gain strength from. We thank you that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And as we would just celebrate this day, an unusual day because of the circumstances of the world, but as we would celebrate this day, we might remember that your Son is the only way that we might have life. Your Son is the only way that we can fully lay hold of the blessings that you have established for us. And we pray, Father, that each one of us would acknowledge you, that if there is anyone listening or watching that does not know you as Savior, that they would come to that realization before it is too late. But Father, again, we're thankful for all of these things that you have established, and that we can celebrate today with what you have given us, that we might be able to enjoy these things. And we ask all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.